Евангелие Луки, глава 14, с 31 по 31 стих. Какой царь?
The book of Luke 14:31 through 33. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. An interesting parable. We know that every parable in Scripture is unique in essence and carries and includes sacred principles and laws of God's kingdom, which in a main way form and identify a unique relationship between God and His nation. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Psalm 78:2-7. The Lord reveals all of this in parables. According to this place of Scripture, the relationship of the two kings in this metaphor is the relationship of two sovereign individuals who rule over themselves. One of these individuals symbolizes Christ, and the other a person who is a candidate for the right to be a student, because it is written, if you will not forsake all that you have, you can't be my disciple. According to Scripture, student is a follower of the teaching of his teacher, applying the instructions of his teacher. In ancient times, to be a student, a person first needed to physically leave everything and follow his teacher wherever he would go. And second, he received the right to serve his teacher, and to serve your teacher is considered a privilege always, a great privilege. If a student does not serve his teacher, then he will not be able to learn anything from him. Practically, to be a student means dedicate yourself to voluntary servitude or slavery to your teacher. Due to such a relationship between a student and a teacher, there formed very close and unique relations, similar to a relationship of a very caring and loving father and a loving son, who zealously serves his father and pursues the interests of his father. Therefore, in Scripture, a student often calls his teacher a father, and a teacher calls a student a son. Due to this, a student, even while the teacher is still alive, shared his destiny with him and often served in the role of his teacher or presented his interests. When a teacher dies, then all of his virtue, position, and status by right passed on to the student. Therefore, serving the teacher first required the price of being a student, and second, the principle and practice due to which a student achieved the position of his teacher or would become as his teacher. It's interesting the fact that Jesus, in the given parable, symbolically is the king with 20,000, and the candidate to be a student has 10,000. The relationship between these two kings seem to be in conflict, or one having or pursuing their own interests and goals, which is why there's a conflict taking place. If one of the kings pursued the interests of the other king, then everything would be normal. There would not be conflict between them, and there would not be war, but they came out to war against one the other. Many children of God, not understanding this, are in conflict with Christ. And so between them, there is this war conflict because each has its own interests. Jesus, the king of 20,000, wants the kingdom that this candidate for the right to be a student is governing or ruling over these 10,000. But Jesus wants this kingdom. And so then the candidate to be a student who governs the 10,000, having weighed his options and thought and thinking this through, makes a good decision and sends his consulate for peace. And so he then denies everything he has and what he possesses for the benefit of the other king and gives himself and all of his power to that king. And so we need to keep in mind that Jesus will never want what does not belong to him by right, for the candidate in this parable wants to be his student, or wants the right to be his student, and he made the decision to follow him. But yet he did not change his priorities, and his treasure continued to be with whatever connected him to earth, which is why this conflict took place. And the demand of the king that had more soldiers said, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me," Luke 18:22. These words were spoken to one wealthy individual who was a follower of the law of Moses. He, from his young age, fulfilled the law and always brought his tenth part of his income to the temple. But inside of himself, he understood that he was not a possessor of eternal life and continues to be a servant of sin. In Scripture, the number 10 is directly linked to the law of Moses, or hope or trust upon your flesh, upon your deeds. But the number 20 is linked to grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, because "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Paul says, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. But before this he was very zealous, and with this zeal, instead of drawing God's favor upon himself, he actually was persecuting him. But when he understood this, whatever gain he considered as gain, he counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Philippians 3:3-10. And so to count as nothing everything that we have so that we can be students of Jesus Christ means change your behavior toward all of these things and place upon the list of your priorities when it comes to the kingdom of heaven a secondary all the rest of these things. And so our consulate that will say before Christ will speak on our behalf will be the price of us, or the paying the price to be a student, having the right position when it comes to the kingdom of God and his strength. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This means to seek and receive upon God's conditions a part of your inheritance in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is called to present within our newborn spirit the kingdom of God and his strength. And so all of the aspects and areas of our essence that are subjected to any kind of destruction and death, a way is then open to life and resurrection. And then whatever is destroyed and lost begins to come back to you or return to you. And they also begin to expand our boundaries and our area in the current age and the future. Therefore, bring your tithes and offerings to God in the form of his delegated authority. We will not be earning righteousness, but will perform righteousness and trust not upon the works of the flesh, but upon righteousness which we have received because of God's grace. In other words, if we, in giving our tithes and our offerings, do not demonstrate over ourselves or acknowledge over ourselves the authority of God, we don't demonstrate our love to God, and so between us and God there will be a conflict. And it's not important then whether we have success in and whether we're prosperous. We will be going in the wrong direction from the from eternal life or resurrection. In the Old Testament, people honored God with their tithes so that they can obtain righteousness. We honor God with tithes to perform righteousness. Big difference. We are justified and we perform righteousness. Those did not perform righteousness. They tried to earn this justification by bringing their tithes. So there's a big difference between how we bring them. Considering we are justified by the Lord, we will honor our God with our tithes and offerings, and in this way we will perform righteousness. When we correctly bring, when our heart is right before God, and we don't seek worldly prosperity, but rather knowledge to get to know God, that is when we receive spiritual and then also physical blessings. Let us stand and sing and serve the Lord. I will remind us that every time when Israel honored God with their tithes and their offerings, either in the tabernacle of Moses or temple of Solomon, they were required, as a command Moses gave them that he received from God, to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation. We are that same Israel. We are connected to the same roots. We are nourished by the same olive tree. We will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hand over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so that you may have food within your house. I do not give in impurity. I do not give in sorrow. And I do not give for the dead. I rejoice that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. And now, in accordance to your words, I pray right now, may your heavenly windows be open to me, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.